sacrifice. And David himself, of course, did a sacrifice because at that time, that was all they had to do was actually give living sacrifices. Today, we are blessed and highly favored to not have to sacrifice an actual animal for our sins, but we do have to lay our flesh a lot of times on the altar and sacrifice it to God. It's not a pleasant thing. It's not a pretty thing, but it is what we are called to do because we are born by nature into a sinfulness. It was the fall that brought us into this. It wasn't something we asked for. It wasn't something that we wanted, but we are naturally born into sin. But praise God, he provided the Lamb of God, the one and only sacrifice that we need to cover our sins. But we still have the choice to keep them or to lay them on the altar and give them to him and walk in a better life. So today I want to talk about walking by the Spirit. And I love if you look at Galatians 5, 16, it talks about keep in step with the Spirit. If I could put a title on it, that would be what it'd be. Keep in step with the Spirit. So we are born in this sinful nature. It comes natural to us. You can lie just like that. It's natural. The choice, you know, it just feels natural to us. Definitely before our Christian walk. After the Christian walk, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is going like he did me, Sonia. That's going to be in a sermon. You know, he shines the light on you. I call that flipping the lights on in each door, but this weekend I got to thinking about it. And when I go to clean my house, I don't start in every room. I start with one room at a time. I start in the kitchen. I start in the living room. I finish it, and I go to the living room. Finish it, I hit my bedroom, my bathrooms. You know, I have a plan, and God has a plan. He does. It's just not willy-nilly, you know, get up one day and let's see what we can fix on Sonia today. No, it's a plan. And every time he shows me something, I usually end up teaching on it, or I see something, I end up teaching on it, or it ends up being something that I can witness to someone about. So there's always a plan. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Christ came, he died, he covered our sins, he walked this life out perfectly so that I could be holy like he is holy. And he says, if I go, the Comforter will come. In other words, it's imperative that I go because you're going to need this Comforter. And who are we talking about? The Holy Spirit, God's very own Holy Spirit. You know, and I've said it before, but, you know, he didn't even leave that to chance, did he? He gave you a Holy Spirit. Because he knows your nature is not. Your nature is not. And yes, I am covered. I am saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I perfection? No. Am I perfect? No. That's why I have the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was one man. He could only be in one place at one time. But God's holy presence, his Holy Spirit, can be everywhere. Omnipotent. Can be anywhere you are. So I want to read Galatians 5 a little bit. We're going to talk about that. But let me first talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, convicts, John 16:7-8. He dwells in the believers, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He is our helper, John 16:7-8. He teaches, and this is where we live our lives every day. He teaches. He's our teacher. John 14:26. Acts 1:8 said he is the power from on high. So you have power. You have authority. God's Holy Spirit lives in you. So you don't have to live and make choices in your flesh, in your own weakness, because you have this power of the Holy Spirit that is living in you, and he gives you the ability to be more than a conqueror. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He gives you that. That's your right as a child of God through the Holy Spirit. And he reveals God's thoughts to you. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. He reveals the truth. He's the Spirit of truth, John 16 and 13. He's the Spirit of truth. So this is where we live all day long. We're being, the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to us, the God's truth. He is guiding and teaching and directing us, and He's our seal. Ephesians 1 and 13. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. That's why He knows you are His. Because you have this Holy Spirit that lives within you. That's His Spirit. So let's go back to Galatians 5, 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposite to each other, to keep you from doing the thing you want to do." So you feel this constant war sometimes going on. Sometimes it's more prevalent than others. Have you ever had the day? A lot of times I get up and there's this war that's already gone on. Sometimes I don't even sleep in the middle of the night. I'm up and this war is going on. And most of the time it's me. It's within me. It's my own wars, my own battles. And the flesh and my own sinful nature and desires are warring with my spirit, which is God's Holy Spirit that lives within me. So I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice. And so I spend a lot of times sacrificing my flesh. And that, as Christians, is what we do. Don't feel that there's something wrong with you. Don't feel that you're less than. Don't feel that you're different, because we're all experiencing this, or we should be, if we're listening to the Holy Ghost. Now, you can push Him away. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on you. You can keep pushing Him away, and eventually He'll walk away. But if you're sincere about this walk, if you desire to be changed, if you desire to be God-like, Christ, you want to follow your example, Jesus, you will submit. Obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of times, Brother Ray says, obedience is the sacrifice. And it is. He was talking to Saul. That situation was where the king had been disobedient to God. But we're talking about our own flesh we're walking with. So let's read on. It says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the law are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, imitate, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." No ands, ifs, or buts about it. A lot of those are external things that we can see. A lot of them come from the heart. I dare say most of them come from the heart. All of them come from heart, because usually what you do comes from somewhere, doesn't it? It starts from a seed somewhere. It starts somewhere. But he says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and notice it's just one fruit. It has many things in it. "Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's keep in step with the Spirit. So, you go through a situation, God has come into the room, He's flipped the light on, and He's showing you things in your life that need to be changed. And it's not easy. It's not easy, but you can go back to the Word, and you said, and you can look at the saints of old, that none of them were perfection. You know, we put them on a pedestal. We think David is God's, you know, man after God's own heart, and that's what the Bible says, but he was not perfect, was he? He sinned. He fell. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He got in pride, as we taught last week, and thousands of people lost their lives. Thousands of men lost their life because of his decision to number the people. So we're no different. God doesn't expect you, as Pastor says, to be perfect overnight. He does not. But you do have to strive for it. I always think, you know, one time I make a mistake. Second time I made a choice. If I did this thing again, I made a choice. I just didn't see. I've already been shown what was wrong. But I chose to do it again and again. I'm walking in sin. I'm being disobedient. That is something that has to be dealt with. But, you know, the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot please God. If you look at Romans 8, 5, 7 and 8, it says, set your mind on things of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. The flesh is hostile to God. It cannot even please God. We'll read that just to be, that was just my scribbling down yesterday when I was writing this. Romans 8. We'll start at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. It has set me free, but I have a choice. I can choose to operate in that law of death, sin and death, can't I? I still have free will. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Plain and simple. What do you set your mind on? Oh, that enemy's real good at that, isn't he? He'll keep parading that thing in front of you. Yes, he will. It's called bait. But if we've been crucified with Christ, we no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Is he still cleaning each room at a time? Yes, he is. He'll show you this. And the next day, there's a little something else over here that needs to be cleaned up. And you know, it's really easy for the enemy to come in and whisper, you know, all that church and you still doing this? All that teaching and you're still doing this? He loves to point things out to you. But don't be upset. God's given you that opportunity to deal with whatever it was or whatever it is. We do like David did. We confess it. We own the fact that, yes, this is wrong. We pay our penances if we need to, or, you know, whatever it is. We lay it on the altar and we get rid of it. And we're obedient to God to do that, and we walk away from it. And we say, God, I can't fix it myself. I need the blood of Jesus. That's what the cross is for. Sin. Salvation. I need your strength. Your help. I don't know about you, but I could do all the self-help books. And I can still catch myself doing the thing that I don't want to do. I love Paul. He's like so upfront with all that. He says, I die daily. I die daily. And it's true. Every day, I'm dying to live. I'm dying to live. I'm dying to self, to live to God. I'm putting Sonia's needs and desires and wants, which are usually not God's. If it's a godly thing, that's one thing. The Holy Spirit's, you know, giving you that desire to do and be. I remember standing in work crying, Lord, I know there's more that I need to be doing. God, open the door. I had the desire to help people, to be a help. Was I perfection? No. Did I have a past? Yes. Do I still have a past? Yes. But I don't live there anymore. But God put this hunger and desire in my heart to be a help to others. I thought it would be overseas. But here I stand. Oh, well, whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. Pastor came to me one time, something had happened, and he was fearful that I would throw up my hands and walk away. And so he's giving me this speech, and I looked at him and I said, why would I throw away what I prayed so hard to get? Why would I give up on that dream? And he stopped dead in his tracks and just sit there and looked at me. I was like, yeah, I prayed for this. God help me. Here I am in the midst of it. Don't understand it. Not always for sure about where it's going, but I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit. Ephesians 5. So there are so many things in the Bible that tells us what we shouldn't look like as Christians. And I'm just going to go through them. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idols, anything, witchcraft, hatred, variance, jealousy, wrath, strife, division, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 has another list. These are the list of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. No two ways about it. It's what the word says. Look it up. Scriptures, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. He's coming after his bride. Be ye holy as I am holy. 1 Peter 1, 13 and 16 talks about God has given us everything we need. Peter said he's given us everything we need to live a godly life. That's 2 Peter 1 and 3. Peter who walked with him. Peter who has the mouth. Peter who has the anger issues that drew the sword and cut off the ear that Jesus had to put back on before he could even go and die. Peter who denied him 3 times. Not once. Once may have been, oops, twice, 3 times. A choice. And actually in Luke, if you look, it says when he denied him the 3rd time, Christ rolled his eyes around to him because he was that close to him. And he looked at Peter eye to eye. He did it in his face, basically. We're not even brave enough to do it, are we, in his face? We'll do it behind his back. Or at least we think it's behind his back. He knows. Peter says, you've given me everything I need to live this godly life. He came back for Peter. Out fishing in the boat. I'm going fishing. I'm leaving all this. I'm going back to what I used to be. And he's walking on the shore one morning. And Peter recognizes him, and he puts his coat on, and he jumps out of the boat. He don't even wait for them to get the fish in and get the boat in. He jumps out into the boat and goes to him. Peter says, you've given me everything I need. Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. So what are we supposed to look like? Ephesians 5 and 1. And I can only give you what God has given me to look at. There's so much more in here. But ultimately, Ephesians 5 and 1 says, therefore be imitators of God. That's what you're supposed to look like. As beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When you look at that, you've been marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. I posted today on the leadership page. You know, we are marked by so many things in our lives, by people, what they say, what they do, what they don't do, by decisions that we made or didn't make for us or others have made for us. And you can talk to a person that doesn't take long to see that mark because you can hear it in the way they talk, in their attitude, in their expressions, their behaviors. But I am marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do I look like I am? Do people see that mark, that seal? Or do they see my past, my wrongs, those who wronged me? Is my speech constantly talking about what was done, all negative? Can't see anything good in life. The Holy Spirit does not look that way. Go on down to verse 8 of Ephesians 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what you're supposed to look like. Light. Not participating in the unfruitful works of darkness. And I'm not just talking about drinking and partying and all the things that were on the list. I'm talking about envying, jealous. It's more than just what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. You know, Christ said that he was the light of the world, John 8 and 12. John 12 and 46. He talks about being the light of the world. Saul was converted on the road to Damascus when he had his experience with Jesus. Let's read what he tells him. Acts 28. This is the kind of transformation, I'll use that word, that we should have. Well, I've got it down wrong. I'm sorry. It says that he was turned from the power of Satan, and he was sent to turn people from the power of Satan into the from darkness to light. Guess who's the prince of darkness we refer to him as? Actually, there's one scripture in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 that says Satan, he masquerades as an angel of light. That's not what he is. And even his followers who are in the church, they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So you've got to know who you're dealing with. You've got to discern that. But we are called to be light. We should look a little different. We should sparkle a little bit, shouldn't we? That's what you should look like. Not so much on the outside. I use that just as an analogy. But we are called to be the imitators of God. Followers of Christ. Disciples of Christ. That's what you're called to be. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you trying to lead him around? Let's go here. He's going, come here. Over here is where it's at. I heard a minister talk about the Philip. He was the first evangelist. He was, you know, in the book of Acts, he was there with all that was going on, and God led him out into the desert to meet the eunuch. Just one man in the middle of the desert, riding a carriage, reading the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, runs up next to the chariot. Now, that would freak me out, seeing a man keeping up with a horse. you know, probably at a good trot because the desert's nowhere anybody wants to be for long. And asking him, does he know what he, understand what you're reading? And he invites him into the carriage. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Do you look like an imitator of God, sealed by the Holy, His Holy Spirit? We're not perfection. When the Spirit reveals these things to you, He's teaching you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's helping you get into the position so that you can be used and blessed by God, even more so than what you are now. And His promises are always yes and amen. His timing is not my timing. And His will sometimes not my will. I thought I'd be somewhere in Africa. That's where I thought I'd be overseas somewhere teaching the gospel. Here I am, Lexington, Kentucky, 20 minutes from the house. Here I am, Lord. Do with me what you will. Be careful what you ask for. What you pray for, unless you're really willing to do it. Is it easy? No. Mm-mm. Am I tired? Yes. Sister looked at me and she said, you looked awful tired yesterday. It was Saturday. I should have been relaxed looking. Girl didn't know what was going on. Pray for me when you see me like that. Because there's a war going on. There's a war. It's usually a war to even put together what God wants me to do. But so many other things, you know, in life we all have. When you meet somebody, you just never know what's really going on. What's really going on. But we are called to be the lights. Sparkle a little bit. Shine Jesus. Give them the message of the cross. Because it's love. But we can't do that if we don't have that faith in it ourselves, can we? Not at all. Not at all. So keep in step with the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you places. May not be far away, but He'll lead you places. I thank God that I'm here and that there is a work to do. Amen. Amen. So we'll close. The time is up. I appreciate you all being here. I hope and pray that God revealed some things to you. And I encourage you today, don't be surprised when He starts cleaning in a room. It's all good. We're all going through it. Just love each other. Walk in love. That's as Christ loved us. He gave Himself for us. And that's what we're called to be. Light. Father, we give You praise, glory, and honor. And we thank You that we have the wonderful example of Jesus Christ and His word and Your word, Father Jesus, to guide and lead us through. Help us, Lord, to keep in step and walk with the Spirit. We thank You that there is forgiveness and there's grace and there's mercy in Your plan. That You're always with us, regardless of what is going on. That You're always willing to help. And that You have already made the way. Now let this word take root in our hearts and grow, Father. Let it manifest, because we know it won't come back void. Father, we thank You. We thank You. And we encourage each other and everyone under the sound of my voice to hang on, to stay the course. To don't get caught up in emotions and feelings and listen to the enemy's lies, Father, but to lean upon Your truth, Father. And we thank You that we have those that will speak that into our lives. And they cover us with their prayers.